Brothers, it's a real joy for me to be here with you this morning. And I'm glad that such an occasion was made possible. When I was pastor for 5 years in a Methodist church in the city of Bangalore, one of my challenges as well as problems was to get the men going. The women's fellowship was already active, but the men's fellowship always had its ups and downs. Now, I don't know about Queensland Baptist, probably you're different, but that was the way it was with Bangalore Methodist. But then, once they got going, we could not stop them. And they are still going. In fact, they were responsible for the starting of a church in a slum. One of our problems in India is that our cities are growing. By 2000, there will be 20 cities at least with 10 million people. That's the projection. And more than half of these cities will be slums. People will live in slums. So for our city churches, the challenge is to minister to the urban poor in slums. And we keep emphasizing that. And our church, the men's fellowship, got involved in a slum. And there is a school, there is medical work, there is also a growing church in that slum. And I thank God for what the men had been able to do. All of us, men, women, boys, girls, youth, all of us who belong to the body of Christ, are called to be involved in building that body. I do not know if you have recognized this in Scripture. In that passage in Ephesians chapter 4, where Paul speaks about the gifts of the risen, exalted Christ to the church, he talks about apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. And then he says these were all given to equip the church, to prepare the church for service, that the body of Christ may be built up. Who builds the body? Not just these leaders with the leadership gifts, but the entire membership is involved in building up the body. And that is Pauline thinking, because he mentions that in Romans. He talks about mutual building up in Romans 14. And he talks about edifying through our speech, through our conversation in Ephesians 4. So there is this teaching in Scripture that all of us who belong to the body of Christ are involved in building up that body. So the question this morning is, am I involved in building up the body of Christ? There are no malfunctioning or non-functioning members in the body of Christ. All of us have a function, and all of us are expected to be functioning, to be building up the body. How we do it, it varies. Some may be called to stand behind the pulpit and preach. Others may not be able to preach. Probably our knees knock against each other, our tongue sticks to the roof if we have to do any public speaking. But then it's not all through public speaking. Much can be done just through personal contact, by keeping the life open to other lives. Now that doesn't come easily, because all of us by nature tend to be little islands. And we don't want to open up to anyone, nor do we want anyone else to open up to us. But that's where we need the Holy Spirit to break the hard crust on our lives. We can't excuse by saying culturally we are very individualistic and reserved, nor can we excuse ourselves saying it's my temperament that I don't open up, I don't talk to anybody, I'm reserved. I think the Holy Spirit must break through all those crusts created by culture or temperament so that we function as Christians, opening to others and being accessible to others and letting others touch our lives and let our lives touch other lives. And that's the way we build. Now, in the building up of this body of Christ, there are certain things we can put in His hands. King David prepared to build a temple. God told him that he was not to build, but his son was to build. That did not discourage David. He gathered the gold and the silver and the bronze and all he could, prepared the men and the materials. And then just before his death, he gathered the people and his son and gave them this charge. We read about it in 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 5. Let me just read that verse for you this morning. 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 5. Speaking to them, he said, "Who is willing to consecrate himself today to the Lord?" He said, "I have done all I could." The previous verses tell us that. And then he said, "Who is willing to consecrate himself today to the Lord?" He was calling them to give all they have and all they are to the building of the temple. Now, when I see that scene, I'm reminded of another scene, David's greater son, even our Lord Jesus Christ, who said, "I will build my church." And in Revelation chapter 5, verses 9 and 10, we read this about him. "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth." Jesus would say, like David, "I have laid down my life, I have shed my blood, so the church can be built among every tribe, every nation, every language, and every people." And I'm sure our Lord would also say to us this morning, as David said to his people, "Who among you will willingly consecrate himself and all that he has for my purpose to build the church?" What are some of the things we can do? I realize here among us this morning, not all are pastors, not all are full-time Christian workers. Many of us are probably working people in business or in trade or in some job or other. What can we give to him? May I suggest a few things and leave it with that challenge. First, all of us can put in the hands of our Lord time. None of us has 26 hours or 22 and a half hours. All of us have 24 hours during the day, or 24 hours in the day. And the rich and the poor, educated, uneducated, all have that amount of time. There is no discrimination. And we can put that in His hands. Now, that is not easy. How much time am I making available to my Lord? One of the common things that is said in the churches is this. I don't know again about Queensland Baptist, I know about Bangalore Methodist. They have said in my church, "I have no time. Why don't you get involved in this slum work? Why don't you open your home for a Bible study? Why don't you come to be trained as a personal worker so you can witness in your place of work or somewhere? I have no time. I have no time." Is that true? If anyone says, "I have no time," what is he saying? It is a statement of value and not a statement of fact. What are the things we give up just because we have no time? Some people skip breakfast. Looking at them, they need to. And some may skip. None of us skip breakfast this morning. Some may skip lunch. But have you seen anyone skipping all his meals all the 24 hours of the day? We'll snatch a sandwich and eat it on the run because we can't live without it. And if we have to watch our favorite game, whether it's cricket or tennis or soccer, football, whatever it is, we'll find time for that. So for what we think as most valuable and important, we snatch time, we find time. What we think is not so important, we can easily say, "I have no time." It's a statement of value. The second thing about time doesn't come to us given on a plate. Paul, writing to the Ephesians, says, "redeeming the time." Different translations put it in different ways, buying up the opportunities. But I like the expression, "redeeming the time." Time is a slave, bound. And time needs to be bought out of the slave market. That is the meaning of the word redeem. Time needs to be bought out of the slave market. It needs to be liberated. What are the things that bind my time? Trifling things, secondary things, selfish things, which bind our time. So when we say we have no time, what we mean is my time is bound up in something or other which is not of so much value to the kingdom of God. And I need to, by a commitment, by a deliberate commitment, and the word commitment again is very important in our assembly, is it not? By a deliberate act of commitment, I deliver time from the things that bind it and invest it for the kingdom of God. I pray that the Lord would lead us to that kind of a commitment as we come to the end of this assembly. I will invest my time for things that matter. Delivering it, liberating it from things that bind it, secondary things, trifling things, things that eat into my time. I will take away my time from that. Then there is another thing we can put in the hands of our Lord, our jobs. Now this does not mean that we have to resign our jobs to be fully active for the Lord. In India, I've heard people often say, I'm taking an early retirement so I can serve the Lord. And I've often asked them, what have you been doing so far? Or sometimes people say, I use my vacation for serving the Lord. No, it's not part-time service or it's not service in retirement, but it's full-time service all the time. You may have a job to earn your living, but your main business is to serve the Lord. You may be a carpenter, a computer man, but that is to earn your living. Your main business and main calling is to serve the Lord. So we place our jobs in the hands of the Lord. We hear a lot about job fulfillment. Dedicated jobs bring fulfillment. Jobs that are clung on selfishly, that are held on selfishly, which are used only for our own purposes, will never bring fulfillment, no matter what the job is. We may change jobs, but still we will not find fulfillment. But if we dedicate the job to the Lord and say, Lord, use this job for the building of your church. What do I mean by that? This job will give me opportunities which I may not get otherwise. In this job, I meet people whom I may not meet anywhere else. A young Indian who was converted was so enthusiastic. He wanted to resign his job. He was working as a squadron leader in the Indian Air Force, commanding a particular squadron in the Air Force. He wanted to leave that and go out preaching the gospel. And the Lord said, no, don't resign. Stay there. And then the Lord told him, you see that man there? His life is broken, shattered. He drinks. And he tries to fill up the emptiness in his life through drinking. And he will not come to any meeting or any service. He will not go near any religious place. And you are the only one who has access to him. And only through you I can touch him. Are you available? And see the other man, his family life is in a mess. And he is on the verge of separation from his wife. He is not happy. His wife is not happy. His children are not happy. I want to get into that situation, but I cannot. You are the only one through whom I can touch him. Are you available? And this man realized soon what the Lord was saying to him. So he said, Lord, I am in this job for your sake. So use me to touch the lives whom I will touch during my time in this job. What a tremendous opportunity that is. And you know, friends, in Australia, we are having constantly immigrants and refugees coming in. All sorts of ethnic groups. Have we opened our lives to touch these people of another culture, of another ethnic background? I tell you, it doesn't come naturally. Because a natural tendency for all of us is birds of a feather flock together. Stanley Jones, a well-known Methodist preacher and writer, used to call it the herd instinct. You see, we all like to group together. The goats in one place, the sheep in one place, the cows in one place, and the crows in another place. That's how it is. But then to break out of that, it takes the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit must not only break the hard crust that is on the outside, we may say it's culture or temperament, but the Holy Spirit must also break this particular herd instinct. So we become accessible to people of any color, any culture, any race. In our jobs, they may not come to church. Muslims may not come to church if you call them. They may not come to any religious gathering that is Christian. But on the other hand, they are open for friendship. I've heard people say Muslims are very hard, aren't they? But they are made in the image of God. They are human beings. We can't put people in pigeonholes and say these are Muslims, these are Hindus, and these are Buddhists. They are all human beings made in the image of God. There is a tender chord in every human heart. And if we are available and open, the Holy Spirit may lead us to touch that tender chord at the right time. And that is the kind of mission and involvement that we need today. Because there are many places where we cannot openly preach or even give a tract. But the impact of one life on another, no government on earth can prevent that. But our lives must be available. When our jobs are dedicated, and when we use our jobs for that purpose, there are tremendous opportunities. And not only that, with that job, you may be able to get into places where a full-time missionary cannot go. And I've been saying this in this assembly, in this conference, several times. And that is the only way some countries can be reached today with the gospel. And that is why we need to be paying more attention to train the entire congregation for missions, so that our engineers, doctors, teachers and computer people are all in mission, going where the Lord would call them if they get a 5-year term to go there and be a witness for Christ in that place. The job can be a tremendous tool in the hands of the Lord. In my hands it can become a problem, and I complain about lack of job fulfillment and problems in the job. But in His hands it becomes a tremendous possibility. Then we can put our homes in the hands of the Lord. The home can be a tremendous place of witness and blessing. An open home. I've said this to people who ask me, how can I witness to a Hindu or a Muslim? I've often said, build bridges. And one of the ways in which you can build bridges is through the family, through the home. In all these non-Christian religions, there is very little teaching or emphasis on the family. But they face the same pressures from contemporary society as you and I. The pressures on family life. And we have the answers through scriptures. They don't have the answers. That is why sometimes in India we find Hindus and Muslims coming to Christian family life seminars. And they say, we don't have anything like this in our religion. We want to hear more about this. And that leads them often to faith in Christ. And what a great opportunity to touch non-Christians through our homes, through our families. They come in and see how we live in our homes. And they see how our faith works in family life. And that can be a great blessing. A dedicated home that is open, not just for our own pursuits and pleasures, but for the purposes of the Lord. David Adney was a missionary who worked for many years in China and later in Asia among the students. He was well known in those days in the intervarsity circles or the fellowship of evangelical student circles. And he used to tell graduates and students, the home is the most effective, the Christian home is the most effective instrument of witness in Asia. Now that is true anywhere else in the world. The home, dedicated home. And then we also give in our hands all our skills, abilities, talents, even the so-called secular skills, skills for secular jobs, the training we have received in secular occupation. That can become an instrument in the hands of Christ for building His church when it is dedicated. There are many creative ways which He would show to us how this can be used, but it must be in His hands. Nothing that touches the altar can be used of God. And anything that does not touch the altar cannot be used by him. Nothing that touches the altar will be denied by the Lord for his use. Everything that touches the altar, he can use. And so, our skills and our training and our abilities to be given in his hands. And then lastly, even what we possess, our money, to be given in his hands. Now here again, money can also be bound up just like time. I remember in one of our missions meetings, a man came at the end of the meeting and he said, I made a commitment to the Lord in one particular area of my life. And then he began to say what it was. He said, I was addicted to the habit of smoking. And as I was sitting in this meeting, I saw before my eyes 5 10-rupee, that's our Indian money, 10-rupee notes burning. I asked, Lord, what is this? What are you saying to me? The Lord said to me, you are sending up 50 rupees a month in smoke. And I was horrified when he told me that. And then the Lord said, deliver it from this wasteful habit and invest it for my sake. Because you've been telling me that you have no money. You have no money. Now this habit is tying up your money. Deliver it from that and invest it. And he said, I've done that. He said, my wife used to talk to me about smoking and I will argue with her and tell her, you stop drinking coffee, I'll stop smoking. And my pastor used to talk to me and I used to tell him, show me in the Bible, where does it say thou shalt not smoke? I used to argue with them. But now the Lord has said to me, and I have yielded it to him so he can deliver me from that and I'll invest it for him. You know, it may not be smoking, but there may be other things that tie up our money, our possessions, and prevent it from being used by the Lord for building up his church. Unless we yield it to him and ask him to deliver us, we will not find the deliverance. We will not find the victory. It has to be yielded. And all of this, our time, our work, our home, our skills and talents, and our possessions, our money, all of this, but not only those, also our lives, to be completely yielded to him. And if anyone would ask me, what is the greatest hindrance today for the church to be in mission? I would say it is a lack of commitment. And unless we put ourselves in his hands and say, I am available. Lord, I have never opened my mouth to talk to anybody else about you. And I have used my temperament as an excuse. I've used this or that as an excuse. But now open my mouth. Break that hard crust in my life so I become broken and become available for you. You know, that is the kind of commitment we are talking about. I am available to you. I commit my life to become available to you. Friends, we live in tremendously significant times. And the tragedy is, we may miss it. Christians, yes, but yet not in the flow of God's Spirit. Not in the mainstream of the movements of God. And not being used of him. And that can be very tragic, is it not? But on the other hand, to be in his hands, to have the assurance and the joy that we are being used in building up lives, in building up his church, that is the most exciting thing. And may God grant to each one of us that experience.